A reading from the Gospel of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet will we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The word of the Lord.
Hi, my name is Tim. I'm a recovering preacher. I've been at it for 32 years. I'm on step 4. I dislike ministers' meetings. I'm de-energized by large church conventions that peddle the next new thing. But I need sustenance and friendship and accountability and ideas and hope. I attended my first Ecclesia Project gathering in 2006. That was a big week for my family. My son Andy and I stayed at Reba Place Fellowship, and that's become his home for the last 5 years or 6 years. It was at EP that Andy and his wife began a relationship. Give that some thought, ladies and gentlemen. They just celebrated 6 years of marriage this week. That was the EP gathering when the Inglewood folks came and talked to us about their congregational conversation. That was good stuff. And then the foot washing section came along, and I was seated next to this guy that I didn't know. He didn't seem that dangerous, kind of a skinny guy with a mustache. His name was Jim McCoy. I like this guy. We had a lot in common. We began to talk and found out that we were both pastors. Lo and behold, turns out we were neighbors living just on the other side of the mountain from one another. We prayed together that night. We washed one another's feet. And as we parted, we said, "You know, we ought to get together for coffee sometime." That coffee session has lasted for 8 years. That's a lot of coffee. Jim and I have hung together, worshiped together, traveled through the Holy Land together. We have shared our joys and sorrows from our lives, from our families, from our ministries. That gathering in 2006 was the start of something really good. What brings you, what brought you to the Ecclesia Project today? Was it the retreat that you needed? Are you looking for signs of the kingdom that have been scattered like breadcrumbs all along the trail of these last 3 days? Is it the teaching that you seek? Are you looking for ideas that you can take home to your communities and to your congregation? Is it the worship that energizes you? Is it the friendships, the holy friendships that you long for? We all need to get away from the daily grind. We all need to seek places of refreshment. The scriptures that we have listened today, the Old Testament scripture, tells us of a time when Elijah hit the wall. He wasn't so different from us. We're just like Elijah, right? Like Elijah, we battle the prophets of Baal weekly, call down fire from heaven, pray for rain pretty much every week, don't we? Well, maybe not, but I'll bet that you can recognize the symptoms of Elijah's breakdown. Overwork, opposition, the strains of success, agonies of failure, long-term stress and fatigue on you and on your family and community. It was actually a threat that finally sent Elijah over the edge. The Queen Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I don't make you like one of Baal's slain prophets by this time tomorrow." Although Elijah had enjoyed a pretty good week, I guess, facing down the prophets of Baal, breaking the drought, dealing with a cranky king, this last bit of news caused him to melt down, blow a gasket. Perhaps, as George said, he was also traumatized, for he had blood on his hands. He put distance between himself and the source of his stress. He ran all the way from the northern end of the kingdom to Beersheba, the farthest southern outpost in the southern kingdom. And there Elijah just kind of folded up and fell apart. He left his servant behind and he walked another day's journey into the desert, hoping to elude the long arm of Jezebel. If ever a man needed a witness protection program, it was Elijah. The prophet came to the famous broom tree where he collapsed in nervous exhaustion and prayed, "Lord, just take it. Take my life." What's going on here? One day, Elijah seemed at the top of his game, standing up to Ahab, overcoming the prophets of Baal, finding amazing answers in prayer, and the very next day, he loses his nerve, his faith, his perspective. Many of us recognize Elijah's despair, his self-pity, the exhaustion we hear in his voice. Some among us understand how Elijah could pray for God to simply put an end to it all. Sometimes we witness God doing amazing things in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our circle of friends. We call down fire from heaven. God defeats our foes. We run for miles in the strength of the Lord. But something trips us up. And it doesn't take many threats, many problems, much opposition to completely unhinge us. See how alone Elijah is. But there, under the broom tree, God comes near. 1 Kings says that God found Elijah and began a process of putting Elijah back together. It began with sleep. God simply allowed Elijah to rest. How many of us work long days and stay in sort of constant states of exhaustion? Are you getting the rest that your body and your soul cry out for? I hope that this EP experience has brought some much-needed rest for you. The word says the Lord woke Elijah with a touch. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up, eat." He looked, and there at his head was a caked was a cake baked on hot stones and a jug of water. Elijah ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up, he ate, he drank, and then he went on in the strength of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. A meaningful touch brings goodness and connection. When Elijah woke to God's touch, the Lord fed him and put him straight to bed again. More sleep. When Elijah awoke again, God fed him again. No talk, no pestering him with questions, no answers for his crippling problems, no looking ahead to the next assignment, just rest, food, presence. I've seen a lot of God's healing mediated through very similar means here at this EP gathering. Seen a lot of hugs of friends, old and new. I've observed the sharing of leisurely meals together. Slowly, slowly I've seen people make the shift back from the place of weariness and maybe even disaster, back to the land of the living. With his strength renewed, Elijah traveled 40 days and nights all the way to the holy mountain, to Sinai. Elijah's breakdown didn't drive him away from God. His trauma led him toward God. In our darkest, loneliest, most frightened moments, let's not bail out of real relationship with the Lord. Instead, may we be drawn slowly but steadily into the presence of God. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Let crisis bring you to a place where God can help you begin to sort out your deepest issues. Could it be that God wants not only our great victories in Carmel, but our deepest crisis in the wilderness? The psalmist says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous person may have many trials, but the Lord delivers them from them all. At that place, says the book of Kings, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. And then the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God broke the silence with a question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" That might have been a good time to reflect on the location. Elijah stood on the mountain of God, where the commandments were given, where the voice of God had been heard, where the mountain smoked and rumbled. God's words might have caused many of us to simply shut up and listen, but not Elijah. He took God's question as an invitation to spill out a torrent of words and complaints and worries. Elijah said, "Look, I've been very zealous for the Lord, my God. But the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life." Like a good counselor, a steady, non-threatened presence, God simply let Elijah talk. He didn't argue with him, didn't reason with him, he just listened. And when Elijah had finally got it all out, God simply said, "Go, stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, says the word, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Have you experienced this weekend that inviting silence of God? Where do we find that gap in the rock where God will come to us? Annie Dillard writes, "The gaps are the thing. The gaps are the Spirit's true home. The gaps, the altitudes, the attitudes, so dazzlingly spare and clean that the Spirit can discover itself for the first time, like a once blind man unbound. The gaps are the cleft in the rock, where you cower to see the back parts of God. They're the fissures between mountains and cells and wild lances where the wind lances through, the icy, narrowing fjords splitting the cliffs of mystery. Go up into the gaps, if you can find them. They shift and vanish, too. Stalk the gaps. Squeeze into a gap. I hope that this gathering has helped you to stalk those gaps. I hope that you have found rest from your labors, space to go with God into those quiet places together with good servants of Jesus who have helped you to give voice to your weariness, your worries, your fears, your frustrations, your questions, your complaints. Only after Elijah was given food and sleep and a listening ear, and the sheer silence of God's presence, did God ask the penetrating question once again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah was still a little bit raw, a little grumpy, perhaps. The Lord shared with Elijah the good news that Pastor Randy Cooper shared with us the day before yesterday. We're not the last prophet on earth, and the work of God does not rely on us alone. And then, without a lot of fanfare, God simply set Elijah's feet back onto the road, saying, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." "Come on, big guy," the Lord was saying. "It's time to get back to work, back into the fray." Praise the Lord, who calls us to such beautiful places as this campus of DePaul in Chicago. Praise the Lord, who calls us to such open intellectual spaces, punctuated by times of good food and rest and conversation. We have feasted on the blessed food of Zion, have we not? We have been heard. We have prayed and we've fretted and we've puzzled through things. Here God has revealed himself to us, not in earthquake and fire, but in the sound of sweet listening silence first thing in the morning. And now, very gently, God sets our feet back on the road. He gives us a word of blessing and sends us back into the fray. Like the disciples of old, Jesus appoints and sends us out, but not alone as Elijah went, but with friends as the disciples went. I hope the friendships that you have made at EP will go with you. Know that we love you and that we pray for you. Won't you stand now as we send you on your way? Jesus sends you, as our scripture said, to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And so as you go, remember that you are walking the Jesus path. Even as you go back to your community, Even as you go back to your difficult congregation, even as you go back to places where you think people might not listen, Jesus sets you on the road and says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm sending you, said Jesus. I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace. Peace be upon this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. Whenever you enter a town and the people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen.